Thank you for joining the Veripanis 2021 interim results conference call. The call will begin with a presentation by management, followed by a Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Daphne Duan from Veripanis Investor Relations team. Thank you.
Thank you, operator. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Veripanis 2021 interim results conference call. I am Daphne Duan from Veripanis Investor Relations team. With us today are Stephanie Yuan, Managing Director, Head of Marketing, Communications, and Investor Relations, Angel Tan, Managing Director and Chief Strategy Officer, and Gary Guan, Managing Director, Co-Head of China Business. With that, I will pass over to Stephanie to go over the financial highlights session.
Thank you, Daphne, and good evening to everyone. Thank you for joining us today. For the first half of 2021, we continue to see COVID-19 impacting the global financial markets. In spite of such challenging environment, Veripanis achieved a 67.2% increase in net profit to 209.8 million Hong Kong dollars. Our total revenue rose 22.1% to 707.8 million Hong Kong dollars for the first six months of 2021. Gross management fee, the group's largest revenue contribution for the first half, decreased slightly by 3.4% to 501.9 million Hong Kong dollars. While gross performance fees, driven by solid performance of our equity funds during the period, increased 485.3% to 91 million Hong Kong dollars. During the period, our annualized gross and net management fee margin decreased slightly to 98 and 59 basis points respectively. This was due to higher contribution of lower management fee AUM compared to the first half of 2020. This includes the notable mandate in excess of 500 million British pounds from M&G, which we had announced at the end of last year. The group's basic earnings per share for the period was 0.113, an increase of 66.2% compared with 0.068 for the first half of 2020. Moving on to slide five. The group's AUM stood at $13 billion as at 30th June 2021, down from $14.2 billion at the end of December 2020. The movement was mainly attributable to positive fund returns of $697 million, driven by solid fund performance, while offset by net redemptions of $1.7 billion. The redemptions recorded in the period came largely from our fixed income product and a one-off termination of a white label product, which are both of lower margins. While we continue to see healthy inflows into our long bias equity funds, including our flagship Veripanis Classic Fund and our own branded healthcare fund during the period. Next, let's take a closer look at the breakdown of our AUM. The charts on slide six show the breakdown of the group's AUM under three classifications: by brand, by strategy, and by geographical region. First, by brand. The contribution of our own branded funds increased to 80% and remained the biggest contributor to the group's AUM. Next, by strategy. Absolute return long bias funds, which takes up 68%, continue to represent the largest share of the group's AUM, followed by fixed income funds, which takes up 27% of our AUM. In terms of geography, we continue to diversify our client base. While clients in Hong Kong continue to represent the largest segment, contributing 59% of the group's AUM, and the share of AUM from mainland China remains stable at 9%. There was a notable rise in the share of AUM from Japan, which now contributes 6% of the group's AUM, compared to 3% at the end of last year and less than 1% a year ago. This was driven by increased subscriptions in our innovation and healthcare strategies, leveraging our successful strategic partnership with a leading Japanese broker. Also notable is our AUM contribution from the U.S., which grew from 3% at the end of 2020 to 6% as of 30th June 2021. Moving on to cost management. The group continues to exercise stringent cost discipline. we will continue to keep fixed operating expenses covered by net management fee income, which is a relatively stable source of revenue for the group. Our fixed cost coverage ratio increased to 1.9 times during the period, compared with 1.7 times for the same period last year. We will continue to take a cautionary stance in cost management and optimize the allocation of resources to balance the need for investments into longer-term strategic projects while controlling lower priority spending. Next, looking at our net financial position on slide 8, the group continues to run a strong balance sheet with nearly 2 billion Hong Kong dollars in cash and cash equivalents as of 30th June 2021. We also continue to maintain a position of zero corporate debt. And with that, this is the end of our financial highlights section. And I would now like to pass it on to Angel Tang, our Chief Strategy Officer, to go over our business and strategy update section.
Thank you, Stephanie. Next, on our business strategy and growth drivers, we maintain our three key focuses. And first is expanding geographical and channel reach. Secondly, growing our product range and new asset classes. And third, capturing opportunities in the China onshore market. Since our last update, we have seen healthy progress in each of these areas, and we continue to implement new initiatives to drive further growth. On the next page, regarding geographical expansion, we continue to receive strong inflows from overseas markets. This year, our overseas AUM grew further from 3.8 billion to 4.2 billion and increased its share of our AUM by 5%, accounting for almost one-third of our total AUM. In Europe, riding on our successful £500 million sterling China mandate from M&G, which is one of the largest asset managers in Europe, we have received continuous interest from both institutional and high net worth channels in the region. On the product side, we are also actively beefing up our UCITS fund range, which now includes a full range of product from China and Asian equities to fixed income and thematic. Our on-the-ground team in the UK is well-positioned to provide local services to investors in the region. In Japan, our local partner continued to bring inflows to our healthcare and innovation strategy. The total AUM from Japan had already grew fourfold since 2019. In addition to expanding new channels in Japan, we are also launching a new ESG-focused fund with our partner, which will help us capture the growing interest from the Japanese market. In North America, we have received an additional sizable investment from an institutional investor for a fixed income mandate in the first quarter of the year. We are also actively working with local partners to expand our distribution reach on the ground. We expect this positive trend from overseas to continue. Over the past year, global holdings of Chinese stock and bonds have surged about 40% to more than 800 billion as investors bought assets at a record pace in spite of China-US tensions. Offshore investors have bought a net 35.3 billion of Chinese stocks in the year to date via the Stock Connect program, according to Financial Times calculation based on Bloomberg data. That was about 49% higher compared with a year earlier. As such, we believe that the current inflows are only a tip of the iceberg, and we continue to anticipate further growth in our overseas business benefiting from the broad market trend. Going on to the next page, in terms of our product suite expansion, our equity funds continue to deliver strong performance and product positive inflows. In particular, our Greater China Equity Strategy delivered a 9.1% return year-on-year, outperforming Hang Seng Index's 7.3%. Our High Dividend Stock Strategy returned 9.6%, which also outperformed MSCI Asia X Japan's 6.4% returns. On the fixed income side, we are continuing to expand our product suite in the UCITS fund range and investment-grade bonds to meet our client demand. In particular, we are well positioned to capture the first batch of GBA Wealth Connect opportunity with our Asian total return bond strategy, which meets the mid to low risk requirement and fund structure to be approved in this scheme. On the ETF side, we have just listed our first ETF in Malaysia, which is the Value Partners DJ Sharia China A-Shares product in late July. It is the first pure A-Shares ETF in the country and first ever ETF in the world that tracks the Dow Jones Islamic Market China A-Shares 100 Index. We continue to see strong interest in our gold ETF and are also preparing to launch a new umbrella of thematic ETFs. Going on to the next page, on thematic equities and multi-asset, we have continuously to see particular strong growth in these two areas. For thematic equities, our healthcare strategy in particular received investors' interest from Hong Kong and overseas, and the fund size grew to almost threefold since the beginning of year. The fund rates 5-star and Morningstar, and the performance ranks first in the peer group quartile in multiple time periods. In Hong Kong, we have registered the fund for local sales distribution and have launched mass marketing campaigns to promote the fund. In Japan, we are working with our partner to introduce the fund to local clients. Other than this fund, we also see good growth in our other thematic equity strategies, such as innovation, and also continue to develop our thematic product range, including consumption and ESG-related themes. In multi-assets, our Asian income strategy had received significant growth in its fund size, growing to almost 3.5 times its size compared to beginning of year. The fund also rates 5-star and Morningstar, and the performance ranks first in the peer group quartile in multiple time periods as well. The fund is one of the top-selling funds in many of the Hong Kong retail channels now, and we're continuing to see positive interest in this product. Next, I would like to hand over to Gary Guan, our co-head of China business, to talk more about our China strategy.
Thanks, Angel. Hello, everyone. I'm Gary Guan. Our business in mainland China continued to gather momentum during the period, and the team is on track to carry out our three-part strategy. As a background, China's asset management industry is currently at an inflection point towards the next phase of rapid growth. The transition period of China's new asset management rules is expected to end by year-end 2021, by which legacy wealth management products will be phased out and investors will need to shift their wealth into NAV-based financial products such as mutual funds. We are currently working with our institutional clients to reposition their portfolios to align with above-mentioned new regulations. In the meantime, we have seen strong inflows in our two RMF products, which includes the Greater China Equity Strategy and High Dividend Stocks Strategy. We are well prepared to implement our strategies in three areas. First, strengthen distribution capabilities to reach more clients in new channels and new cities or regions in China. As Chinese wealth continue to grow, we are investing more resources to capture growing demand in wealth management products. We have expanded our team to cover new retail distribution network, which now covers a wide reach of domestic and foreign banks, securities firms, and third-party online distribution platforms. Secondly, capture new business opportunities such as the GBA Wealth Management Connect scheme and opportunities arising from the opening up of the China financial markets to foreign asset managers. As we mentioned in previous presentations, JBA posed a huge opportunity to us. As the population of JBA is 10x of Hong Kong, and the total GDP is that is similar to the size of South Korea's. The JBA Wealth Connect would give a size for JBA residents to invest in offshore products that meet the scheme's requirements, such as made to low risk and Hong Kong domiciled. Well, many global fund houses may fail to meet these requirements. We are well positioned to be included in launch of the Wealth Connect scheme. Thirdly, to enhance brand influence in China. Well, Value Partners is a well-known brand in Hong Kong. We still have much room to grow our brand in the mainland. In the words of professional investors, we have started to gain attention and received many industry awards. For example, we were named by Asia Asset Management as the best UFI in China 2021. We were also awarded the 2020 Golden Changjiang Fast Growing Private Fund Award by Securities Time in April 2021, and they were ranked 7th and 12th in Zeben Advisors 2021 Top 10 Outbound Managers and the Top 25 Foreign Firms in China, respectively. All in all, we are very confident that the opening and the continuous growth of the China asset management industry will be a key growth driver to our business, and are continuing to invest resources in our China team. Thanks.
Thank you, Gary. That concludes our results presentation, and we will now open up for Q&A. We will take questions in both English and Chinese and provide translation if necessary. All translations are for convenience purpose only. In case of any discrepancies, management statement in the original language will prevail. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, management. If you'd like to ask a question to the management, please press 01 on the telephone keypad. To cancel, please press 02.